Elijah. Domiso. There was a man of God who lived a long, long time ago, who told the king there's no more rain unless I say so, to show the king that he was wrong. God indeed does rain. Elijah, Elijah, Elijah was his name. On Carmel's mount this prophet stood to prove which God was true. For Baal was false, his prophets lied with fire they could do. Then this man prayed and fire came down, everybody knew. Elijah, Elijah, a prophet brave and true. Elijah prayed and rain came down upon the thirsty ground. But Ahab's wife said he'd be dead if only he were found. Traveled on to find a place to hide. Elijah, Elijah, fear not, God's on your side. Go tell Ahab that they have sinned and they shall surely die. For Jezebel has made the plan and stolen with a lie. And they have killed a very good man and taken what he had. Elijah, Elijah, they surely have been bad. Now God would take this man to heaven in such a splendid way. His work was done, he had been true, this was his happy day. God sent his fiery chariot down and swept him to the sky. Elijah, Elijah, he did not have to die. I'm going to do these in a different order, I think, than I've put them up there. Let's do You Are the Song That I Sing, so we can get this stuck. You are the song that I sing. Men's part, me as the women's part. Here we go. You are the words and the music, are the song I sing. Your melody, harmony, praise your name I bring. Your Lord of lords, mighty God, your King of all kings, so I give that songs you gave me, your song that I sing one more time. You are the song that I sing, your gift of lords, mighty God, your King of all kings, so I give back songs you gave me, your song that I sing, that I sing. Okay? Just one word of caution there, particularly on the men's part. There sometimes is a tendency to rush that just a little bit. If anything, try and get a feeling of holding back a little bit. You are the music, you I sing, your melody, bum, 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 bum. You can almost not make that second note too late. You can work on it. The tendency is to want to make it too soon. Bum, bum, bum. No, that's not what it is at all. Bum, 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 bum. Like that. Okay. I could feel it getting rushed just a little. Keep it. It's the Calypso feel. Things are relaxed. Kick back. We're not in a hurry. Okay. We have not done this song at all, ever. Well, you may have done it sometime, not here with in my sessions, The Coat of Many Colors. And I chose this song and also the Elijah song because these are written by church people that I know. Dorothy Sims has now passed away. She was a member at the Church of Anaheim, and several people have hands up. So if you need a copy of this song, hands up, and they'll distribute those. She was a member of the church at Anaheim, and she wrote this song when she was teaching little kids classes. And, Well, this is a disadvantage of tunes getting passed down orally. And I did check with members of the family on this particular issue. So, and I sang it to them, and they said, yeah, that sounds right. So I've attempted all due diligence that I knew how to attempt, except consulting Janice. So, all right. Anyway, are the lyrics the same? As you, okay, all right. Well, we're close. We'll be close enough then. And now that it's written down, this has to be right. This becomes authoritative now. Anyway, I think it's a very nice song, and again, one that you can add to your repertoire of children's songs. And we'll sing it. I'll sing it through for you once, and then you can listen while I'm doing that. And then we'll sing it together. No soul, 'twas the coat of many colors that the Bible tells about, and 'twas made for Joseph only while his brothers did without. And when jealousy o'ertook them, they said, Joseph, you must die. But the Lord protected Joseph just like he would you and I. If you want the Lord to keep you and guide you all the way, just read your Bible daily and trust him every day. Just count your many blessings, you will find him good and true. And he'll never, never leave you, but will always see you through. You know it differently too? Yeah, well. Right, that's true. Yeah, before the Anaheim congregation. Talks about instead of tells about. Yeah. Anyway, here we go. We'll go with this, and maybe next year or sometime we'll have a revision if one is needed. If you still need copies, raise your hands. No soul, here we go. 'Twas the coat of many colors that the Bible tells about, and 'twas made for Joseph only while his brothers did without. And when jealousy o'ertook them, they said, Joseph, you must die. But the Lord protected Joseph just like he would you and I. If you want the Lord to keep you and guide you all the way, just read your Bible daily and trust him every day. Just count your many blessings, you will find him good and true. And he'll never, never leave you, but will always see you through. One more time. 'Twas the coat of many colors that the Bible tells about, and 'twas made for Joseph only while his brothers did without. And when jealousy o'ertook them, they said, Joseph, you must die. But the Lord protected Joseph just like would. If you want the Lord to keep you and guide you all the way, just read your Bible daily and trust him every day. Just count your many blessings, you will find him good and true. And he'll never, never leave you, but will always see you through. And one of the things I kind of like about that, not only does it talk about the story of Joseph, but it gives a modern day application, how that just as Joseph relied on the Lord and did the right thing, even when it wasn't the easy thing sometimes in his life, in the long run, it all worked out. And God rewarded him. And the same is true for us today. The circumstances of today may seem awful. You're doing the right thing, and things are still working out terribly. But in the long run, it works out well. I like Joseph's saying to brothers, you may... God meant it for good. Pretty strong words of faith, in my opinion. Okay. Let's do... How about let's do near him? 243. 243. Blue Songbooks. 243. Okay, sopranos, don't forget, in the chorus. Near him I want to be, near him turn on me. If you don't do that, you're gonna the basses are going to have a real struggle harmonizing against that. Okay? No sol, do tenor, sol, soprano, mi, alto. On the beginning of the second line where you're singing the C for seemingly a long time, like a lamb that strays away, if you're a little uncertain where to come back to that B-flat, listen to the soprano part because they have a B-flat. It is the same note, only an octave lower. Okay. And then just hang on to that sound. If you can remember that B-flat because you come back to it, let's see if I can pitch this. Like a lamb, so like... Second line. Like a lamb that strays away, away from the good shepherd's fold. Now, there will be some tension there because you have a B-flat on the word fold, and the sopranos have a C. The difference between B-flat and C is a second. We have the second there, and it's actually a seventh in this case, but it sounds just like a second. They're the inverse of each other. Huh? Yes, if you have a man singing the male lead, you will have the second there against that person, yes. Uh-huh. But even if you don't, you still have the seventh and the second sound very... The inversions sound like each other to us anyway. So yes, there is some conflict there that you just have to be solid on and tough it out, make it happen. Yes, this one very much could be considered that. Yes, a suspension. Technically, no, in this case, because a suspension is the note is held over from the previous chord, and that B-flat is not in the previous chord, at least in that voice. But it gives the feel of that. Okay. Other questions or concerns about that song? Yes. Right. Exactly. There's some tension there on purpose that gets resolved. Yes. Exactly what the composer is doing. And enjoy that. I mean, that was done on purpose. Not that we enjoy conflict, but. But we enjoy resolution, so we have to have the conflict to get the resolution. Okay? Yes, Doug. Okay. Right. His point was it goes to a seventh chord, which provides some tension to it just by its nature also. It happens to be the dominant seventh chord, which is the five chord. And if a phrase ends on a five, it is a... The five is the dominant, but there's a name for that type of cadence, half cadence. So it provides a half cadence, which... Remember, a half cadence, we definitely feel an end of phrase, but we definitely feel like it's definitely not the end of the end of phrase, but not end of song, and they do that by ending on the 5-7 chord, seventh chord built on the fifth scale degree. So that in and of itself gives us a more complete feel to it than the previous chord. Good point. Okay, you guys are all going to be music theorists whether you like it or not here pretty soon. All right. I mentioned yesterday that I wanted to talk about pronunciation some, and I do today. And this is kind of, in my view, a little amusing what I'm going to do a little bit later. And maybe you'll find it amusing too. Maybe not. Some people will. Okay, first I want to talk about what we call the long vowels, specifically the ones that are diphthongs. This is a phonetic term. What is a diphthong, other than it's hard to say? Two sounds blended together. With our diphthongs in English, we really have two vowel sounds, assign one vowel to it. And for some reason, we call these long vowels. I'm not sure why we call long and short vowels long and short. Time-wise, you can hold them all out long as long as you have breath. And not all of the long ones are diphthongs, although most of them are. But you probably, at least when I was in elementary school, we talked about the long vowel sound and the short vowel sound. Is that still taught today? For those of you who have went through or teaching elementary, these are not unusual terms. Like the short A sound is A, and the long A sound is A. Pretty much the long sounds are the same as the letter name. Okay, so the long vowels that are diphthongs are A, I, O, and U. Which one did I leave out? E. E, I don't consider to be a diphthong. It only has one sound. E. There's only one vowel sound to that, in my opinion, so I don't call it a diphthong. The others are A, I mentioned yesterday, really has two sounds to it. What are they? E. 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 A. 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 E. E. A. E. Followed by E. And when we put them together, we get A, 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 A. Okay? Now, the next one I listed was I. What are the two sounds of it? A, E, I. I might. I, 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 I. A, E. O is a little trickier, because O doesn't have to be a diphthong, but we usually say it that way in English. What are they? O. 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 O and O. O. And perhaps the most interesting is U. U is a diphthong, but it's sort of a backwards one. What are the two sounds? E-U. And we add to that the fact that we don't always make the long U a diphthong. It depends on pronunciation in some cases. How do you say the word T-U-N-E? Tune. Do you say tune? Could you? Yeah. Do we in American English? Usually, no. We just have the ooh, it's not a diphthong there. Tune. How do you say the word C-U-B-A, the name of a country? Cuba. Cuba. There it is, a diphthong. Now, the Spanish don't make their vowels diphthongs. If they're going to do that, they're going to put two vowels right next to each other to let you see. And Spanish is the primary language in Cuba. So they don't pronounce the name of their country, Cuba. They pronounce it Cuba. Person is from Cuba. We say it Cuba, or the C-U-B-E, the like a Rubik's Cube. We make that one a diphthong. So sometimes our words, we do make them diphthongs, and some the U, sometimes we don't. Most words that start with a U, it's a diphthong. United, uniform. If it starts with a long U sound, it's probably going to be a diphthong. But sometimes when the U's in the middle, it is a diphthong, sometimes not. One of the inconsistencies of our language? I don't know. One of the interesting things about our language. Okay, now, so what on all of that? Well, with the exception of the U, we hold the first vowel sound of when we have a diphthong. We hold the first vowel sound, and the second vowel sound is short. And then consonant sounds are short, too. Even consonants that could be held a long time usually are short. So the second vowel sound of a diphthong is short. So what was the word we were doing yesterday? And be gracious. The A of gracious. A-E. And be gracious. Is what's held. Gracious. You add the E, and then the rest of that, ishus, all together. Gracious, ishus, ishus, ishus. Okay, the ishus goes quickly. Gracious unto you, and be gracious. Okay? The long U, is the other way around. That diphthong, the E part, we make very short. So if we were to sing the word, I'm trying to think of a song that has a long U sound in it. If the word were united, okay? And we are united. And we are united, or something like that, if that's what the word was. Okay? U, the U is very short. The E is very short. U, you get to the U right away. United. Now, one of the points of all of this is recognize the diphthongs and recognize which one you need to hold and try not to let the other flow into it. This is particularly an issue in the style of the country western singer. A lot of these diphthongs, they want to get to that second vowel song. That's a stylistic thing, which may be fine for that, but for choral singing, group singing together, can be... Well, one of the problems is everybody goes there at a different place. So if we just don't go there until the end and make it short, it provides some uniformity to it. The country singer might sing instead of "and be gracious," like that. They might do "and be gracious." gracious unto you. You, well, make that E a long time. You, and we'll slide it a little bit. You, and be gracious. And you can go really, well, it's beautiful. We even have the letter spelled out there for us in that word. And that's a stylistic thing. And, you know, and sometimes if that's all the kind of music you listen to, you think that that's the way everything has to be done. And it doesn't have to be done that way. And typically we want to kind of shy away from that in the choral realm. Well, no, you can have a word that isn't a diphthong. You can have the ah sound. He put on his hat. I held the as for a long time. What do you mean? No, you don't put two sounds together. Oh, I see what you're thinking. Maybe they call it long because it's a diphthong. But then we have what we call long E, which isn't a diphthong, but we still call it long E.
As opposed to the way the Latin, the French, and the Spanish,
right.
They short.
I don't know. Maybe we just like the diphthongs. You do find them in other languages, though, and depending on the language, I don't know about French, because spellings in French make no sense to me at all. Languages that do, where the spelling does make sense to me, like German or Spanish, typically those languages, they will just add vowels in there if you need a diphthong sound. So you spell it out. But they have them. Okay, now. Guess what, boys and girls? What is this? A Punnett square. How about that? Huh. I could say I thought of it first, but I'm the last one to present it, so. And obviously, I didn't think of it first because there were people way in front of me who did that, but we're going to talk about the consonants now. The consonants are all the other letters except A, E, I, O, and U. And in my way of looking at things, the consonants can be categorized two ways, two different ways. Thus the Punnett square approach. One way that we can categorize a consonant sound is what I call pitched. And what do you think the opposite of that might be? Unpitched. And by pitched, I mean that the voice is active in it. Now, you might be humming through it, but the voice is making a pitch. Whereas unpitched, the voice is not making a pitch. So, for example, the M, and I can make that different pitches. Okay? That's a pitched consonant. Whereas an unpitched consonant might be the Lord bless. There's no pitch there. It's just air and the way you hold your mouth. So that would be an unpitched. And many of the pitched ones have an unpitched one that goes with it. And we'll see if we can figure out what some of those are. And I think this will be kind of fun to do. I hope you think it will be too. Now, that's one way of classifying them. Another way is what I call short and long. And by short and long, I'm not talking about short vowel sounds and long vowel sounds. I'm talking about time, really short and long. Some consonants you cannot make longer. Like T. T. Make that longer. Hold that T out. You know, you don't have a T sound if you hold it out. T. You know, you do the T and it's done. That's a short one. Whereas some consonants we can hold out long, like L. I can hold as long as I have breath. Okay? So that's what I mean by short and long in this case, not the same thing as we mean by short and long like vowel sounds. So let's go through the consonant alphabet here. We'll start with the letter B. Okay. And it's going to fall in one of these four boxes. When you say B, do you need voice? B. Blessed assurance. B, B, B. Do you have voice to it? Yes. Is it long? Can you really hold out the you can do something there, but that's not really a B sound until you make the B part. So we would call that short and pitched. And hopefully I put these all in the right place. Yes, short and pitched. Now, as I mentioned before, many of the pitched have an unpitched one that goes with it. So make the B sound, only but don't give it a pitch. Just do the breath part. When you do the B and you do just the breath, you get a... What do you get? Do it. B. And now don't just do breath through it. You get a P. B. P. B. P. B. P. I think the difference between those is just that the B is pitched and the P is unpitched. Both of them short. Both of them pretty much the same mouth formation, but we give some voice to the B sound and no voice to the P sound. Okay, next letter is a little different. The letter C can have two sounds. It can be like cat and really have a K sound, like cat, or it can be C like celery and have a S sound to it. So I'm going to leave this letter out entirely and we'll do K and S later. Okay, can you not see? Here, I can get out of the way here. Is this on? Okay. All right. So let's go to the next one, which is celery. Which is D. Okay. See if you can figure out where that goes. Yeah. Does it help if I move back? Yeah, Cincinnati would be great. Okay. D. Pitched or unpitched? Pitched. Short or long? Short. D. Pitched and short. Now do the same formation with your mouth, but don't give it voice. Just do it with air. T. Uh-huh. T. And in fact, in German, those of you who have taken a little German or sung German songs, it's sometimes very difficult to distinguish between the D sound and the T sound, the way that they pronounce it. And the difference is how much voice you're giving to it. When you have the voice to it, it's a D, D. When you don't, it's a T, T, D, T, D, T. Okay? Next letter in the consonant alphabet, we skip E, go to F. Okay. Pitched or unpitched? Unpitched. There's no voice to that, just air. Long or short? Long. You can hold an F forever if you want. Okay? Long and unpitched. Now, add voice to that same mouth formation, and what do you get? V. You get the V. Right. If G. G also has two sounds in our language. One is in such as the word golf, and I believe they call that a hard G. Okay? And then we also have words such as gentle, and we call that the soft G. And that's really a J sound. So the G that I'm going to put here up here is the hard G sound, like golf or golf. Okay? that hard G sound, and we'll do the other one just as J, the other sound. Okay, so that hard G sound, is that short or long? Is that pitched or unpitched? It's pitched. Short or long? Short. I think I would put that one under short. Short pitched. Now do it without voice. What do you get? Huh? The J sound. Do the J sound. I mean the... Yeah. No, the G sound like... I'm sorry, I was saying J, wasn't I? I'm sorry. I want the G sound. G sound, okay? G sound, as in gulf. It's still pitched and short. G. It's pitched and short. Now, what's the unpitched of that? G. K. K. The K. G. Gulf. K. Kite. Same, pretty much the same formation of the mouth. One's pitched and one's unpitched. Thank you for the correction there. I even said I was going to do the hard G sound and did the wrong one. Keep me honest. Okay. All right. G-H. Hi. Pitched or unpitched? Unpitched, just air. Long or short? Long. You can make that one long. So long, unpitched. And if you add voice to that, you're going to get the ah sound. You're going to get a vowel. So there's no real consonant that matches with that one. Okay. H-I is a vowel. J. Okay. The J is that one. That's the one I want now. Long or short? Long. Pitched or unpitched? Pitched. Long pitched is the J. Okay? Now do the same thing, unpitched. Huh? I'm going to argue it's a CH sound. Some would argue maybe it's the SH sound. I'm going to argue it's a CH sound because of what you do at the beginning to get the J. You do the same thing to get the CH. And CH is really TSH. T-sh, t-sh, t-sh. Okay, but I'm going to argue that this is the J, whatever we... It's like D, almost like you're putting a D in front of it. J, to get the J sound. We put almost a T in front of the SH sound to get CH, J, CH. So I'm going to argue that it's a CH sound. Okay? All right. H-I-J-K. K we already have up there. It's the one that matched with the G. Okay? L, we don't have that one. Long or short? Long. Pitched or unpitched? Pitched. Okay? And L, again, is one of those that I don't think has an unpitched to it. You can do the old sound and just breathe through it and you get nothing. Okay? So I think that one doesn't have a one that matches with it. Okay, M. Mmm. 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 Pitched or unpitched? Pitched. Long or short? Long. And there again, I don't think this one has one that matches with it. If you do the mmm and you unvoice it, you just have air going through your nose. Okay? The N. Mmm. Mmm. Pitched or unpitched? Pitched, long or short? Long. And again, I think that one doesn't have a one that goes with it. If you take the voice away from the N sound, again, air just goes through your nose. Mmm. Okay? O is a vowel. P. We have up there already as the unpitched one that matches with B. elemental PQ, the Q is really just a K sound, maybe with EU of the vowel after it, but it's really just a K sound. So I'm going to leave that one off. PQ, R. Oh, I left R off. Okay. I just left it off the chart. Where would it go? Long pitch. And does it have an unmatch? Not really. Yeah, the WH is different. Yeah. S. Long. Unpitched or pitched? Unpitched. Add voice to it and you get you get the Z sound. So S is unpitched long, Z is pitched long. T we already have up there. V we have already up there. T U V W X. X is kind of interesting. Let's talk about W for a second. I contend that they put W in the consonants. You know, vowels are sometimes Y and W. I can't think of the W by itself where it really doesn't have a vowel sound. It's an OO sound. When it's W, not WH, but W, like was, we don't pronounce the A really like an A. Water. It always has a vowel sound on the sounds. Okay, X, we have words like fox, which rhymes with socks. And socks really has the KS sound. In fact, the white socks, they spell it with an X. And the red socks, they spell it with an X. And it has the exact same sound. So I think really it's just a combination of the KS sound. K being short, K being short and S being long, both of them are unpitched. And that's it on those. Okay, I suppose there are a couple that we probably didn't get, like the WH, where, that could be long, but unpitched. And I suppose as soon as you put pitch to that, you probably have a U. You've got the U sound. So it changes to a vowel sound. So there wouldn't be a... I didn't put it on the chart, but I would... The WH as long, unpitched. Others, the SH, shh, long, unpitched. Shh, and then the... Well, we already talked about the J. Yeah, okay. All right. Any questions about that? So there we have it. What's this thing called again? Huh? The table? Punnett square. That's kind of a... Yeah. Okay, let's do... Do me so... Dynamics. Dynamics mean how loudly you sing or how softly you sing. How much volume is there to it? There are some words here. Some letters that are used. P, we see first, then MP, then F, and then at the end PP. Okay, the P stands for piano. You may have heard that word before in a different context, but really a related context. F, which we have there on the beginning of the last measure of the first page, stands for forte, which means loud. Piano means soft. P, piano, means soft. F, Forte means loud. Now, you may have heard of an instrument called a piano. You've probably heard of that. It is the most common instrument in the United States. Many of you probably have one in your home, or at school, or lots of places. Okay? The full name of that instrument is the pianoforte. And we just shorten it because it's easier to say piano. But it's the pianoforte, and it is called that because it was, when it was invented, it was the first keyboard instrument that could make or soft simply by how hard you press the keys. When you press the keys very hard with strength, you get a loud sound, and when you press very softly with less strength, with little strength, you get a soft sound. There were other keyboard instruments that preceded the piano, but it was the first one that volume could have dynamics based on how hard the player pressed the keys. Predecessor instruments that could not do that include the organ, like the pipe organ, and the harpsichord. The pipe organ produces sounds by when the player presses the key. There's a mechanism, or nowadays an electronic signal. In the early days it was a physical mechanism that opens a valve and lets it both and the pipe sounds. And once you get the pipe sounding, you can't change the volume of that pipe. It's as loud as it is. One way that they controlled volume on organs was by means of what they call stops. And some of the pipes, or maybe all of them, depending on the design of the organ, were put in like a little separate room. It'd be like having them in that back room there. And the stops were these louvers that could open or close, and you could open up all of them, pull out all the stops. That means have it all wide open. Let's have full volume. Or you could close some of them or close all of them and have it softer. And that's a way to control volume on a pipe organ. So they'd use the stops to do that. The stops also, as I understand, organ also can control which pipes are being played. And you could have maybe multiple sets of pipes playing the same note to get even greater volume, or fewer sets of pipes to get less volume. That's another way to control that too. But that's pretty elaborate and sometimes challenging to control all that. I remember watching a very skilled organist who was visiting a school, and they had this pretty nice organ, pipe organ. And he asked the resident organist to help him, and he did a Bach toccata thing, and basically all he did was play, and the resident organist and adjusting the stops. It took two people to play that song because the one was not familiar with that organ and didn't know the setup of the stops, so he just did the manuals, played the keyboard, and the other guy, who was familiar with the organ, controlled the stops. That was kind of amusing in one way. Very helpful, but I thought it was a little funny. The other instrument that I mentioned, the harpsichord, also predated the piano. And the harpsichord has like a quill that actually plucks the string. And you can't really do that very hard at all. It's not a loud instrument. Sometimes they would get loudness or softness by plucking multiple strings on the same pitch at the same time to get it louder, or than just a few strings to get it softer. But when the piano came around, the notion that you just press harder and you get loud was very cool, and I think contributed to the popular instrument. Okay, now, we're not playing the piano here. The instrument just has that same name. But we can sing piano, or we can sing forte, because the word means loud. Oh, the MP means mezzo piano, somewhat soft. So in order from soft to loudest, we have two P's, which is very soft. The word is pianissimo, very soft, two P's. Then P
piano, which means soft, then MP, mezzo piano, which means somewhat soft. It's a little bit louder. I'm going from soft to loud here. Then MF, mezzo forte, which means somewhat loud. Then F, forte, which means loud. And then two Fs, FF, fortissimo, very loud. Okay? So the markings we see in this song on the sevenfold Amen, it starts piano, soft. All of the parts, when your part comes in, you start softly, with perhaps the exception of the soprano part, because they come in so late that we've all worked up to an MP, a mezzo piano, by that point. Okay? Then, in between the MP and the F for forte, loud, so by the time we get there in the song, by the time we get to that last measure of the first page, we are loud. That is the climax of the song, volume-wise. In between the MP, the mezzo piano, and the F forte, we have the abbreviation CRESC, which is an abbreviation for the word crescendo, which means get louder. So we start soft, we go to medium soft, we crescendo, we get louder to loud. Then at the next page, we have the dim poco a poco a ritardando, diminuendo poco a poco a ritardando, which we talked about yesterday. The DIM is abbreviation for diminuendo, which means get softer. So we're going from loud at the bottom of the first page. Gradually, we will get softer till the end, where it has PP, pianissimo, very soft. The notion of pianissimo, it should be the softest you can sing and still have a decent quality voice. Fortissimo, the double F, should be the loudest you can sing and still have a controlled quality voice sound. Sometimes I see this particularly in band music, marching. They got four Fs on the thing. Well, two Fs are as loud as you can play with control. Are they telling me to play out of control? Maybe. I don't know. But you see that. And the way we say those is ad issimos, or eccissimos kind of thing. So two Fs would be fortissimo. Three Fs is fortissimo. Four Fs are fortissimo. Fortissimo, fortissimo. Anyway. And it gets kind of ridiculous, in my opinion, when you go beyond two, either two. You know, I don't see four P's very often, though. I see four F's all the time, or not all the time, but often, but I don't recall seeing four P's. And does that mean if two P's are as soft as you can sing with control, that the four P's, you're out of control? I don't know. Anyway, fortunately, they didn't require any of that of us. So again, we start soft. We get loud by the end of the bottom of the first page, and then we start getting soft again, so that by the end of the song, we are very soft. Okay? When we're still trying to get the notes to just put them up, because I'm still trying to get the notes and come in at when my time is. You can come in when your time is and not be at full volume. Let me share one other thing that is nice to do. When you have a moving part, you've got notes that change, give just a slight little bit more volume. And then when your part is holding, back off a little bit and listen for the others, because somebody else is going to be moving. Okay? And those should be just slight adjustments. All right, let's do the sevenfold Amen. Before we do, any questions on any of that? Yes, Tom. What do you do when there are no markings? Okay, and it's much like tempo when there's no tempo markings, which most of our songs don't have. What do you do? And it is much to the discretion of the song leader. Yes, and you know, the song leader might say what they want ahead of time. You know, let's make this part loud, let's make this part soft, or through simply their conducting they want. here I will try and follow the markings, since there are some, and I think they're good markings. I agree with them. That's nice when the conductor and the composer agree, because it's ugly when they don't. Do mi sol for the tenor, do for the bass. It'll be amen. Now come in with certainty that you're soft. Not very soft, but you're soft. Okay? Ready? Here we go. Breath. Amen. 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 Now, if you are struggling with singing softly, you feel like you're running out of air, or I'm not able to produce a tone, tighten this up. Believe it or not, it's harder to sing softly than loudly. Act like, give it as much gut. I don't want to do that a lot, but... I can make this, even though there's a little layer of fat on top of it, I can make this pretty hard. Have the tension here, give it some tension, keep this relaxed, act like you're going to just belt it out as far, but don't. Just make it softer. Okay? One more time. No sol. I'll be quiet and just listen. Breath. Did you run out of breath? Which in this case was sort of okay, because there were some people still singing, so I just let it fade. But I might do that to you. I suppose I should have given you a warning. I might do that to you and just hold it a little longer at the end. If I'm liking it particularly, you know, there's that Bugs Bunny cartoon thing. You guys have seen that? Yeah, where he's got the... you know, the soloist opera singer, and he's just doing this, and Bugs is the conductor. You know, he's just holding it like this, like he's working really hard, and the singer's turning red. You know, and I think at one point his hand even comes out of the glove, and the glove just stays there. You know, I'll try not to do that to you, but okay, one more time, whole song. Let's stand. You'll get some breath with that. Entire. Do mi sol. Thank you. announcements?